station. It appears, Madam Speaker, that I'm condemned to present at an ungodly hour every year. I have to take the graveyard shift. But, Madam Speaker, nonetheless, it is always a privilege for me to stand here to provide representation to the goodly people of the constituency of Groseley who are responsible for my presence here, and to report on some of the work that is being done at the ministry, given the portfolios that I handle. Madam Speaker, I liken my predicament at this time to the global economic crisis that we're facing. I had no way of predicting that I'll be making my presentation in the early morning, in the early hours of the morning, complained about having to do it late at night. At least I get an opportunity to do it early in the morning. Madam Speaker, we are all aware in this Honorable House that we are facing the worst global economic recession in over 60 years. This recession is indeed the worst global recession in living memory for most institutions, given the fact that many of us were not around during the Great Depression of the 1930s. This recession is different from previous recessions in that it is the first truly global recession since the post-World War era. All countries in the world, Madam Speaker, are experiencing significant economic decline, and even businesses are experiencing closure, leading to unprecedented unemployment and poverty worldwide. Secondly, Madam Speaker, we are aware that the recession is associated with a massive financial crisis. In fact, the financial system remains highly fragile in the biggest economies of the world. We are all familiar with the heavy losses made by the U.S. and European banks. And in the case of the U.S., it is estimated that the loan losses for U.S. banks will exceed $2 trillion U.S. dollars. Banks are focused now on building up capital, Madam Speaker, rather than providing credit. Banks also still remain highly risk-averse, and even good corporate borrowers are finding it very difficult to access loans in this climate. That, Madam Speaker, has serious implications, has negative repercussions for us in terms of investment. The latest research by the IMF in its World Economic Outlook for April 2009 states that the recession, a recession associated with financial crises, are deeper and longer, and that it takes about 3 years to recover to pre-recession output levels. The IMF further states that it takes a longer time to recover from a synchronized or global economic crisis, and that the research also indicates that the recession, such as this one, normally lasts for 2 years, and as I indicated, it takes about 3 to 3.5 years to regain or to return to its pre-recession output level. Madam Speaker, the fact shows that this recession is likely to be very long, very deep, and very painful. Some experts speculate that this recession may continue well into 2010, and that even when the recovery comes, it will be extremely weak. This is based on the premise that the domestic, U.S., and other advanced economies will take some time to recover. Consumers in the U.S. are overstretched, having overborrowed during the housing bubble, and with housing prices continuing to fall in the U.S., consumers who incidentally account for 1/5 of the world's domestic consumption are more likely to be repaying debts rather than moving back to their consumerism and old habits of spending prior to the recession. Madam Speaker, in the face of all this doom and gloom, it is, however, heartening to note that the G20 countries have undertaken a cooperative and coordinated economic policy response to this crisis. While we are hopeful that this action taken by the G20 countries will help to stabilize the global economic situation, we should not be waiting on an external solution to our situation. We must formulate a uniquely homegrown solution response to this economic crisis. In confronting the serious economic dilemmas that we face, we have to face them squarely, decisively, and realistically. Madam Speaker, some hard economic decisions have to be taken, and we must be prepared to make some unpopular choices. In navigating this economic crisis, we are constrained by the high level of debt that St. Lucia faces, leaving us with very little space to maneuver as far as borrowing is concerned. Madam Speaker, I am, however, confident that we can find the right blend of economic, social, and developmental objectives, and it is not an easy task, Madam Speaker, to balance these objectives in a major global recession. And I know that the Minister of Finance has some difficult budgetary decisions to make. If the global economic situation stabilizes, Madam Speaker, I have no doubt that this budget can provide appropriate fiscal stimulus to stabilize and to put the economy back on to economic recovery. At the same time, we must be responsible and prudent in the administration of this budget. Notwithstanding the global economic crisis, I note that St. Lucia was still able to realize a 0.7% growth in 2008. Madam Speaker, all things considered, I think that is remarkable. The major bright spot in the performance, in our performance for the last year, was the agricultural sector. Madam Speaker, I have always been an advocate for the merits of a strong agricultural sector. I strongly believe that whether recession or not, you must be able to provide most, if not all, of what you consume in terms of what you eat, and that the agricultural sector is one industry that provides a high number of jobs, especially for people in rural communities. While 2008 was a tough year, Madam Speaker, honorable members, I am sure we are all aware that 2009 may be even tougher. It is generally expected that all countries of the world will experience negative growth next year, St. Lucia included. Madam Speaker, there is no panacea for our economic woes. I am, however, confident that we can pull through this recession. I understand that there will be a need for sacrifices, and those sacrifices have to be made by all. This government, as a matter of fact, members of parliament on the opposition and government side must provide the leadership needed to address our economic crisis. We must unite in this time of crisis. We must put our political agendas and differences aside, and we have to appeal to all stakeholders to play their role and not to use this occasion to cause any division and strife. As Madam Speaker, this will be detrimental and deleterious to any possible progress, and we all, in the end, will pay the price. Madam Speaker, as a result, let us approach, or let us have an approach that is characterized by cooperation, collaboration, and a harmonization of a national effort in the national good. Madam Speaker, I will have to move quickly as I intend to constrain my presentation within the allotted 1 hour, or if possible, less than that. Madam Speaker, in the past, I have always left matters related to my constituency for last, and given the time that I normally present to this House, the presentation on my constituency has always suffered. So I will reverse the order and deal with my constituency right now. Madam Speaker, the constituency of Groseilly. Madam Speaker, the constituency that gave me the honor and privilege to stand in this House to provide representation to the people of Groseilly and by extension, the people of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, I take my leadership role as a parliamentary representative very seriously. In the 2006 campaign, I made a number of solemn promises to the people of Groseilly. Madam Speaker, at the time, I had no way of knowing that very early into my tenure as parliamentary representative, we would have been faced with such an ominous recession, global recession, that is having its terrible impact on our economy. Madam Speaker, this notwithstanding, and of course you can't blame me because even the experts could not have predicted what we are going through right now. But my leadership, my representation, Madam Speaker, I promised, would be based on innovation and creativity. And now is the time that I am called upon to show innovative and creative representation. Madam Speaker, I look at the problems and I look at the promises that I made and I decided that I'm not going to stand in this House and make excuses for not fulfilling this problem. Come what may, I will find a way to realize those promises. Through the effort and good management of this government, through the cooperation and assistance of friends such as the funds from the Republic of China and Taiwan, Madam Speaker, a lot has been achieved despite the economic climate. Madam Speaker, one of the major problems of my constituency is that of roads. Madam Speaker, I have one of the largest constituencies, one of the most populated constituencies. I have one of the most developed constituencies, both in terms of commercial, social, and residential development. Madam Speaker, this means that I have roads just about everywhere in my constituency, and I'm prepared to argue that I perhaps have by far the most roads in my constituency. Madam Speaker, I'm faced with the predicament that many of the roads in my constituency are considered to be private roads. They are roads in housing development, some housing development even done by the UDC, and as a result, the Ministry of Communications and Works will not or cannot take the responsibility to repair those roads. So what do I do? My people pay taxes just as everyone else. My people have an entitlement to the services that everyone else enjoys. Madam Speaker, here comes innovation in solving this problem. Madam Speaker, I am in the process of forming a development committee for Groseilly, the details of which I will present to my constituents very soon. And this development committee will have the task of raising funds, whether through external sources or local revenue, for the purpose of development in the constituency. And among the list of developmental projects will be the roads of my constituency, especially the roads that do not fall under the purview of the Ministry of Communications and Works. More elaboration on this later. Madam Speaker, I made a promise that the health care of my constituents will be given serious consideration during my tenure, and I expressed my concern that the polyclinic of Groseilly was open five days a week from 8 to 4. I lamented the fact, Madam Speaker, that we did not have the luxury of planning our illness, and as such, we should have services available to us 24 hours. And I pledged that I would see to it that that is realized. I am thankful to the Ministry of Health so far that they have extended the services to one more day, that is up to Saturday. That is an improvement. I recognize the limited resources of this government in terms of providing all the resources that we need. But Madam Speaker, I have decided again to be innovative in solving this problem. I am working in collaboration with the AIMU Medical University at Boseju, and through our collaborative efforts, they are going to provide for us the equipment that we need for the polyclinic, because they, as a university, have to set up a lab, and the thinking is that it will be more beneficial to them if they set up the equipment at the polyclinic where the students, the interns, can get first-hand live medical experience. And for us, It will be solving a problem of providing us with the equipment that we need, at the same time providing personnel to the interns and doctors who work at the institution. That is killing two birds with one stone. Madam Speaker, there are other services that will be provided by the people that I will elaborate on later, as we have time constraints right now. Madam Speaker, I just want to touch on a major activity that is coming up for next year for the Groveley constituency. That is the celebration of our 25th anniversary of township. Madam Speaker, we have big plans for that occasion. I'm in the process of setting up a committee, special committee, to look about planning a program of activities to mark the occasion, and as well identifying four projects, one in Moshi, one in Grand River, one in Corinth, Marisville, one in Groveley, to mark the occasion of our elevation to Thames Township. Another feature of that celebration will be a homecoming of Groveley residents overseas, Madam Speaker, those who live in Toronto, in New York, in London, in St. Croix, in Barbados. We're going to have a major homecoming and a major celebration for the occasion. Again, more details later. Madam Speaker, I want to talk a little on our projections for the coming year. Madam Speaker, I am committed to ensuring that by the time I have served this term in office, that there will be no area of my constituency complaining for a lack of water. And so, Vieux Secuy, Des Garçons, and Bois de Wange, in the area where the Clovis family lives, I will be attending very soon to their water problems, to their needs as far as the water shortages is concerned. We are looking at the setting up of a beach park at Pigeon Point, and although it will not be strictly a community facility, it will be more national considering the wide use of the Pigeon Point area. But we are going to set up this beach park through collaboration with the NCA for the leisure and recreation of our people. Madam Speaker, I am looking at training programs for my constituents, training programs in areas of life skill, in areas of entrepreneurship. I am looking at the continuation of the development of the Groveley waterfront, even to the point where we can facilitate cruise ship passengers who would come and generate business for the people of Groveley. Again, more details on this later. Madam Speaker, I am also looking at the setting up of the windsurfing program for kids in Groveley. I have already begun discussion with an expert from the Groveley community in the sport of windsurfing, and we are going to rekindle our water sports program, starting with windsurfing. That is a program that is soon to be realized in the coming months. Madam Speaker, before I move on to mention a few accomplishments, let me just mention, Madam Speaker, well, I better deal with my accomplishments now. I will not list the many road repairs that we did. To me, Madam Speaker, that is a duty, that is a fundamental responsibility. I cannot come here and gloat about repairing roads. However, there is this road, Madam Speaker, that was a major problem, so much so that it became a national discussion on the talk shows, the Norbert Road, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to announce that the Norbert Road is at the stage where it is ready to be paved in Barrow Green, Madam Speaker. And as soon as this is done, after the passage of this appropriation bill, we will continue that road from Norbert into Vieux Secuy, creating a bypass for the residents of the Moshi Groveley area who do not have to endure the heavy traffic on the highway. Madam Speaker, also in the current Vieux Secuy area, in the back of current, going towards Vieux Secuy, there is this river, Madam Speaker, that overflowed every time it rained heavily. And if you're on one side of the river when it rains, that's where you have to remain. Madam Speaker, that puts in jeopardy people going to work, children going to school, and the danger associated with the temptation of having to cross that river while it is heavy. Madam Speaker, we have built a footbridge over the main river and another small bridge over the second river to ensure that the people of Vieux Secuy can get to and from their homes with ease, whether it's rain or shine. Madam Speaker, the upgrade of playing facilities throughout the constituency has taken place. The enhancement and beautification of the four main population centers, that is Groveley, Moshi, Corinth, and Grand Rivière, has taken place and is continuing. We have upgraded the Moshi Health Center. We have a spanking brand new health center. I'm just waiting for the Minister of Health to give me the go-ahead for the reopening of that health center. Madam Speaker, we have the training in entrepreneurship and other life skills that have taken place. Madam Speaker, I will not list the many accomplishments, but there is one project that I have to mention, Madam Speaker, for two budgets. I stood in this honorable house, and this one is an emotional one for me. Madam Speaker, for two budgets, I stood in this house, and I promised the people of Labon, who have been deprived of pipe water for decades. I am pleased to announce that on Saturday, Madam Speaker, we opened the pipe in Labon. Not just a standpipe, but in the homes of the people of Labon. You can go there now, Madam Speaker. You can get a shower. You can get drinking water. You can have, the people of Labon can now have washing machines, dishwashers, and what have you in their homes, Madam Speaker. A long overdue right that the people have been deprived of for decades. Madam Speaker, I want to say thanks to the Poverty Reduction Fund, now the Social Development Fund. I want to express thanks to the Republic of China and Taiwan, and especially Ambassador Tom Chu, who took a personal interest in that project and provided for us over $260,000 in contribution to the realization of this project. Madam Speaker, that project cost in excess of $1 million. And that is a project that would have never taken place, Madam Speaker, because that had to be looked at as a social project, because the commercial viability of that project was considered to be, you know, prohibitive, and so the people would have continued to be denied. It had to take a parliamentary representative who had those people at heart, Madam Speaker, and that is where they are in my heart to realize this project. Madam Speaker, I want to quickly move on to the portfolios that I hold in Parliament, Madam Speaker, in Cabinet, sorry, the Public Service and Human Resource Development. Madam Speaker, given this economic climate, we have an even greater responsibility in the public service to be innovative, to be more productive, to be more efficient, and to be more service-oriented. Madam Speaker, as a result of this, we have begun an audit, a telecommunication audit, with a view to cutting wastage and improving and increasing efficiency in the use of telephones and other communication devices. We are cutting out unnecessary services, Madam Speaker, and we are looking at ways of reducing costs. Madam Speaker, already I am being told that we have identified savings to the tune of $1.3 million, Madam Speaker, way in excess of the cost of the project in itself, and this is the way I think we have to go. We are now studying a proposal for an energy audit, which will be done in the first quarter of this financial year, Madam Speaker, all in an effort to become more efficient and to cut costs and reduce wastage. Madam Speaker, rationalization and reduction of costs will also be looked at in the area of rental of government offices. Madam Speaker, we have an allocation of $27.6 million for rental of government offices. We have to develop a relocation plan, Madam Speaker, for a number of offices, and we are going to finalize a strategic plan for relocation for the period 2009-2012. Madam Speaker, we are hoping that developments such as the refurbishment or completion of the Dyer Mall will alleviate some of our problems in terms of the expenses that we have with regard to rental. Madam Speaker, in the public service, we are just finalizing a strategic plan for the period 2009-2012, and this strategic plan is looking at five priority areas, mainly service delivery, human resource management and development, facilities management, e-government, public sector governance, and modernization. And Madam Speaker, we are looking at working with CARICAD to finalize an action plan as soon as this plan is adopted. Madam Speaker, public sector modernization. This is going to be pursued with a greater degree of urgency, Madam Speaker, because given the current situation, I think it is of a greater necessity now than ever. We want to increase the competitiveness of the public service, because the public service is an agency that is responsible to stimulate economic growth and development. Madam Speaker, we have requested technical assistance from the World Bank and a mission visited St. Lucia in March with a view to carrying out studies on how we can go about implementing a modernization program. The emphasis will be on enhancing performance, productivity, and service delivery in the public service as part of the modernization agenda. Madam Speaker, we are also carrying out a review of our legislative framework for the public service. The preliminary groundwork was done, and a memorandum is soon to be submitted to Cabinet with the proposed steps to developing a draft legislation. To develop modern public service, we are going to develop a modern public service act and regulations, Madam Speaker, to replace the old, outdated staff ordinance. Madam Speaker, e-governance. Madam Speaker, e-government is an important area of the public service as we pursue public service modernization. The e-government unit has continued the public service sector ICT and e-government project, and this project is funded by the EU. The major highlight of the last financial year, Madam Speaker, in the area of ICT and e-government has been the opening of the National ICT Center in Castries, a project that was funded by, again, the Republic of China and Taiwan to the tune of $1.5 million, Madam Speaker. We now have a state-of-the-art, well-equipped ICT center in Castries. Madam Speaker, we are now pursuing the implementation of a national ICT policy and e-government strategy so that we can make maximum use of the state-of-the-art national ICT center. We are looking at four pieces of legislation, Madam Speaker, that are critical to the implementation of e-governance. Those are Electronic Crimes Act, the Privacy and Data Protection Act, Electronic Transaction Act, and Freedom of Information Act. Madam Speaker, these legislations are necessary to ensure that our laws keep pace with technology and development as we go along. Madam Speaker, we now have collaboration, again thanks to the cooperation of the Taiwanese, we now have collaboration between the e-government project and the Royal St. Lucia Police Force in developing a crime reporting system. We also are collaborating with the Department of Transportation for a vehicle registration and licensing system. We are also looking at community technology programs to increase the awareness of the possibilities of the internet and ICT at the community level. Madam Speaker, I quickly move on to HRD and training. Madam Speaker, the centerpiece of our development must be based on the improvement and enhancement of our human capital base in this country. Madam Speaker, we provide study leave with pay in the last year. We provided study leave with pay for 45 students, but unfortunately only 40 accepted. We provided study leave without pay for 23 new awardees, and we granted 45 extensions. In the area of tuition refund, Madam Speaker, in the year 2008, we re-established tuition refund for public servants. Madam Speaker, the objective is to facilitate skill enhancement and competencies in job-related areas. And Madam Speaker, those people were able to do the training while on the job. A total of 31 awards were granted, and 50% of the study cost was reimbursed. We provided a number of in-service training opportunities, Madam Speaker, and the program included middle management and leadership programs, oral and written communication, a program for training of our drivers, and Madam Speaker, in those programs, a total of 296 public officers were trained, and in addition, overseas training for 170 public officers was provided. In the last year also, 24 economic course awards were granted, Madam Speaker, for the training for our nationals. In the area of scholarship, 7 Cuban bilateral awards, 2 Cuba CARICOM awards, 2 Japanese awards, all these are scholarships, Madam Speaker, 8 partial and 1 full awarded by Monroe College, 2 awards from the Russian government, 48 awards granted by Grambling University, in this case there only 44 were accepted, 8 awards granted by the OAS, and 5 awards by the Niagara College, and 1 award by the New Zealand government. We also have 2 nominations that have been submitted for the UK Commonwealth and 4 for the Francophone Scholarship. Madam Speaker, further to this, we also embarked on a program of loan guarantees, Madam Speaker, to facilitate and aid our young people who wish to pursue tertiary education. The loan guarantee scheme provided 17 financial assistance awards with a cost of over $790,000. Last budget, Madam Speaker, I spoke about this program with particular excitement, and this was the EU-funded program on human resource development. Madam Speaker, we got to the tune of €358,209, or $1.325 million, and this was to target core youth in rural communities who wish to pursue tertiary education at the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College. Madam Speaker, I'm pleased to say that this program assisted tremendously poor people from the rural areas who would not have otherwise had an opportunity or been able to afford tertiary education. Madam Speaker, there is a program that has been problematic, that is the Cuban Nursing Program. Madam Speaker, one of the problems is that the expectations of our nurses that they would have been able to pursue their studies, return to St. Lucia and become qualified or registered nurses, they are finding out after the fact that they are only going up to the diploma level. Madam Speaker, much to the disappointment of many of our students, we are now in the process of seeking an audience with the Cuban embassy with a view to negotiating an extra 2 years that will take them up to the degree level, Madam Speaker, that will ensure that when they return, they will be registered nurses when they return. Madam Speaker, we are also finalizing the Midwestern University Memorandum of Understanding to ensure that we resume this program at the Midwestern University, where the program provides a competitive waiver of US$9,500 per year and a minimum scholarship of US$1,000. Madam Speaker, all of these opportunities we will make available to St. Lucians, as we have an increasing demand by our people, especially our young people, for tertiary education. Madam Speaker, I quickly move along to the Ministry of Social Transformation, Youth and Sports. Madam Speaker, again, a vital ministry at a time like this when we are facing an economic crisis. Madam Speaker, it is often thought that only the revenue-generating ministries are important at a time like this, but I say, Madam Speaker, that at a time like this, the social considerations are vital, because if you do not have the right social climate, all our efforts to generate growth in our economy would be in vain. Madam Speaker, we'll see a spike in our crime rate, we'll see a spike in deviant behaviors, we'll see a decay, a breakdown of society, and so the work of the Ministry of Social Transformation is critical, is vital, and is central to the recovery that we are looking at this time, given the economic climate that we face. Madam Speaker, I want to start with community services. Madam Speaker, let me first outline the areas that the Ministry of Social Transformation, Youth and Sports cover. We look at community services, we look at social research and development, poverty reduction, social risk management, youth development, sports development, and micro-enterprise development. Madam Speaker, in last year's budget, we had an estimated recurrent expenditure of $11 million, an allocation of $11 million, an expenditure of $10 million, a utilization rate of 88%. Madam Speaker, on the side of capital expenditure, we had $34 million as our estimate. We were actually allocated $24 million, and our expenditure thus far has been $19 million, a utilization rate of 77%, but that is expected to increase, Madam Speaker, by the time we finish paying off all our character bills. Community services, Madam Speaker, I will just quickly list some of the areas that we have intervened and provided assistance, especially to our young people. The Young American Business Trust, funded by the OAS, Madam Speaker, is a program that saw the training of 156 young people in a variety of business-related skills. And, Madam Speaker, now we are looking at providing them with the requisite financing to bring to reality some of the business ideas that they have developed through their training. Mr. Speaker, we are hoping that with the establishment of the National Development Bank, a special window will be set up for our young people who wish to become entrepreneurs to facilitate the funding of their businesses, Madam Speaker. To this end, I have already requested an audience with the General Manager, and I'm hoping that our request will meet their approval. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm just being told by the Minister of Finance that has already been considered. Mr. Speaker, it's just a question of working out the details. Youth Entrepreneur Equity Fund. Mr. Speaker, we are heading in the right direction. Mr. Speaker, in terms of community services, we have a project called the Joy Sewing Project in Monrico that I'm particularly impressed with. It is a project for persons with disabilities and their caregivers. Mr. Speaker, these people sew uniforms, make bags and what have you, generate an income for themselves at the same time providing a service to the community in which they reside. Mr. Speaker, let it not be said that we do not care for the disabled or that we do not cater for the disabled. Of course, Mr. Speaker, in the debate you would have thought that my ministry did not provide any services to most of the constituencies in this country. But that's the way it is. That's the reality of the politics. You are criticized for what you don't do, but you don't get the praise for what you do. But you see, to an extent, Mr. Speaker, we have to be blamed, because you see, we're not in the business of blowing our own trumpets. You know, we're not in the business of profiling. We're not in the business of advertising. However, I just want to announce to this Honorable House through you, Mr. Speaker, that I may not say what I do, Mr. Speaker, but I certainly do what I say. And so when I stand here and I make any pronouncement, you can look forward to its implementation, its realization, and I will be coming back here next year at this time to announce its completion. Mr. Speaker, the Library Administrative Building was completed. I hope the parliamentary representative of Labri is aware of that. He was at the opening ceremony. Mr. Speaker, there is a program that we have initiated at the Department of Social Transformation that I'm particularly pleased about. You see, as far back as 2001, during my first election campaign, I began advocating the merits of some little fundamental approaches to the way we do things in this country that can make a tremendous difference. Now I see with the global economic crisis, we are forced to go back to basics and we are now considering them. I was very pleased to hear in the throne speech that the Governor General made mention of some of those projects that I mentioned. I speak now on the kitchen garden program that we are going to implement in schools in St. Lucia. We have already begun in Bellevue. I imagine the parliamentary representative for Viewport North, with his interest in agriculture, will take an interest in this program, and as well in Pasir. And I heard the parliamentary representative for Miku North talking about the importance of agriculture, among other things. They, I'm sure, will take interest in those programs. We are looking at a further 8 schools, with an average of 20 participants in each school. The idea behind this program is to teach our young people, you know, the fundamentals of agriculture. It's no point telling them to start kitchen gardens when they do not have the know-how. It is not as if when we grew up in the past, we were naturally exposed to those things. That doesn't happen now. So if we teach them, they can go home, teach their parents, advise them, have their kitchen gardens at home. At the same time, those kitchen gardens at the schools will provide food for the schools, home at room, and so on. And, you know, everybody, it will be a win-win situation in all respects. I will not go about listing community centers that we did in Techime and Puasho and those areas. I think it was the responsibility of the parliamentary representatives of those areas to mention that we did those things in their areas, Madam Speaker. Thank you very much. You're always magnanimous. Madam Speaker, Denry promised a program with components in life skills, counseling, design and implementation of community projects, and what have you. Some 44 participants have been trained in that program in the areas of plumbing, cosmetology, tour guiding, electrical installation, and information technology. Madam Speaker, we also have the Center of Excellence in the community of Suzelle. Madam Speaker, and I quickly move on to some of my agencies, the National Conservation Authority. Madam Speaker, they are responsible for our beaches, and we have 30 beaches under the care of the NTA, where 100 persons are employed. We have the refurbishment of the Monley Bay viewing point, where 40 persons are employed. We have 30 vendors currently operating under the guidance of the NTA. And recently we implemented a new program with the NTA that is the maintenance of playing fields around the island. We began with 17 playing fields, Madam Speaker. We employed approximately 20 persons with approximately 2,550 users benefiting from that development. It is a wide cross-section of areas, various constituencies. We intend to expand this program in this coming financial year, Madam Speaker, because we have gotten great reviews, even from the members of the opposition, Madam Speaker, that this is going very well in Labri and in Kashmir East. And so we're going to continue it and ensure that we provide for young people in all of those areas. We will see to it that that is done in this financial year as we expand the program. And Madam Speaker, I want to say too that, you know, I believe that when it comes to social programs, we have to stay clear of politicizing the assistance that we provide, especially when it comes to assistance for the poor and indigent. As a result, Madam Speaker, every member in this Honorable House can tell you that when it comes to dealing with the agencies who disseminate the services to the poor and indigent, the parliamentary representatives themselves have direct access to these agencies. I do not get involved. It is not that I would be unfair or partisan or insular in my approach, but just so as not to create the appearance or the impression that there is any interference, I allow the agencies to deal directly with the parliamentary representatives, and they can tell you. And when it's in the days of PRF, they dealt directly with the PRF, now it's St. Lucia Social Development Fund and the NCA. I think that's the way it ought to be. You know better than I do the needs, the requirements of your constituency. Madam Speaker, Bell Fund.
Parliamentary representative, you have 15 more minutes to finish your contribution.
And that I intend to do, Madam Speaker. No, thank you. It's getting late, so, you know, we have to, you know, make do. And my tenacity is at work here, Madam Speaker. I will make do. I always make do with what I have, Madam Speaker. Even in time of crisis, you know. Madam Speaker, the Bell Fund. The Bell Fund is a very important social agency, Madam Speaker. There are concerns about the future of Bell Fund given the establishment of the St. Lucia Development Bank, Madam Speaker. It appears that many of the clients are moving to the St. Lucia Development Bank, but I still believe there is a role for the Bell Fund, and I hope that the Bell Fund will continue to play the prominent role that it has played in the lives of especially our young people who want to engage in micro-enterprises. We have 45 new micro-enterprises established in the last year, with 27 receiving grants. We have a default rate of 0.07%. That is remarkable, Madam Speaker. And I must commend our people for, you know, being so conscientious, honest, and dignified in honoring their responsibilities in that regard, because that's the only way we can continue the programs of the Bell Fund. A creation of 70 direct jobs and 50 indirect jobs, a training for 41 clients in micro enterprise management. The types of loans that we provide are loans for merchandising, light manufacturing, agro-processing, and services. Madam Speaker, I move quickly along to the St. Lucia Development Fund. Madam Speaker, as you would be aware, we recently amalgamated or merged the Poverty Reduction Fund and the Basic Needs Trust Fund to form the St. Lucia Development Fund. Madam Speaker, those agencies have provided tremendous assistance, alleviated the sufferings of many indigent and poor people and vulnerable people around the island, Madam Speaker, in the areas of education assistance, in addition to the EU Education Assistance Program, Madam Speaker, the Poverty Reduction Fund is providing educational assistance for 1,400 households, touching 3,000 people at a cost of $608,000. Housing assistance to 72 households, and Madam Speaker, I'm compelled to make the point, Madam Speaker. In my constituency, there's not more than one, Madam Speaker. But we're talking about 72. Just to make the point, Madam Speaker. Again, I'm not lamenting because I have the privilege of representing a constituency that is a little more affluent than others. And so I think where the project goes, where it is deserving. Retaining walls for 300 persons, water supply for 1,100 persons, thanks again for assistance for the Labon Water Project. Community facilities for 1,800 persons, public access for 1,600 persons, a juvenile rehabilitation, there's a program for young people, 80 persons, community development project for 2,500 persons to a tune of $2 million, and the Kudme SLC is a project that they implement, Madam Speaker. The Kudme SMPC seeks to assist indigent households with comprehensive psychosocial support for 2 years. Madam Speaker, I just want to inform the member for Supre, who raised questions about the Kudme SMPC, to inform him that the program has in fact commenced, and that we provided assistance during the Christmas period with vouchers, a pilot food stamp program for a number of households who benefited, that is 66. Total number of beneficiaries, 301, adults, 143, children, 158, at a total cost of $25,850. That program will be expanded and strengthened as the year goes on, so I just want to inform the member of Supre, that even though he has not heard much about it, again, we don't blow our trumpets, we don't beat our chest, but we are doing the work, Madam Speaker. And if he does his research, he will find out that we do. Madam Speaker, there are a number of other programs that come under the BNCFPRF, that is the St. Lucia Social Development Fund, and I mentioned already the Education Assistance Program, with 1,400 households and 3,000 students benefiting. And the benefits come in the form of uniforms, books, and shoes to poor people, Madam Speaker. That is especially useful, especially to the rural communities around the island where we have most of our poverty. Madam Speaker, if you just indicate to me when I have 5 more minutes, I'll appreciate that. The social economic context within which we operate, we have about 60% of the poor in St. Lucia below the age of 25. Madam Speaker, that makes the work of our agencies and the youth department very critical. Madam Speaker, the distribution of poverty, we have, among those that are indigent, we have 1.6% or 2,670 persons. The poor, 27.2% or 44,000 people. The vulnerable, 11.5% or 26,000 people. And the non-poor, the people who sit around the table here, Madam Speaker, they form 59.7%, almost 60% of our population. Madam Speaker, I move quickly to Ecclesiastic Affairs, just to say that the main undertaking of Ecclesiastic Affairs is that we are now engaged with the advisory committee that comprises of a number of faith-based organizations in drafting a faith-based policy. That will be brought to Cabinet within the first quarter of this year, Madam Speaker, for final approval to guide the operations of our churches and other faith-based organizations. Madam Speaker, I want to mention the financial cost of youth crime, because very often we disregard the work of social agencies and the interventions that they carry out, not realizing the possible consequences if these interventions are not made. Madam Speaker, I have information here, data from Jamaica and St. Lucia, that conservatively estimates annual government expenditures in tangible costs, which amounts to approximately $23 million by Jamaica and $25 million for St. Lucia. Assuming that arrests, court appearances, and detentions are similar to what you have in Trinidad and Tobago, Madam Speaker, the total financial cost from youth crime for St. Lucia would be a whopping $46 million, and that does not take into account the cost of your police force. Madam Speaker, we cannot ignore the youth, because it will cost us tremendously if we do. Youth development, Madam Speaker, in terms of our youth development, we are looking at the hosting and support to the CYP and CARICOM initiatives and projects, the National Sports Awards, the School Sports Program, the National Youth Program, the School Youth Development Program, and financial support for clubs, district youth and sports councils, and the National Sporting and Youth Organizations. Madam Speaker, we are looking at the restructuring of the community programs and the activities. We are looking at the ambassadorial program, the after-school program, and the support to youth-based organizations. We also have embarked upon an alcohol awareness campaign, and I'm sure you hear from time to time in media those ads that come around. We seek to sensitize students at various schools as well about the dangers in the use of alcohol, and we are also carrying out some monitoring that has thus far resulted in the removal of Guinness advertisements in the You magazine, a magazine in the Voices paper that is meant for young people. We are looking at youth summer programs with 600 participants ages 11 to 17, and the topics covered in this program are healthy lifestyle, youth professional development, sports, provision of experiences in traditional food, folk music, dance, and so on, and leadership, team building, volunteerism, patriotism, and civic responsibility. Madam Speaker, sports. Madam Speaker, I have spoken quite a lot in recent time of sports. Madam Speaker, we have had reason to beat our chest in sports of late, Madam Speaker. I speak from a national point of view. With the hosting of the Carissa Games, Madam Speaker, that was a massive success. Madam Speaker, we truly saw what national effort can result in, Madam Speaker, an example to what we need to do with this economic situation that we are facing. Come together. When we come together, Madam Speaker, our possibilities are limitless. Madam Speaker, we can achieve a lot. I have confidence in the tenacity and competence and creativity of our people. Madam Speaker, we have to unite, come together, and make it happen. I want to take this opportunity in this Honorable House today to once again publicly compliment, congratulate, and praise the 6 athletes who medaled on behalf of St. Lucia, who won us the 6 medals. I want to compliment the others who did their best in representing St. Lucia. I want to thank all those who were involved in making the Carissa Games the reality that it was. I want to compliment, Madam Speaker, the people of St. Lucia who came out and showed their patriotism, their national pride in getting behind our athletes, giving them the support, creating an atmosphere that was rivaled by none. Madam Speaker, I also want to say to the member for Beaufort South, you know, that he probably may not be aware of it, I didn't hear him mention it, but that the establishment, the refurbishment of the George Odlum Stadium in Beaufort created over 225 jobs for people of the South. Labrie benefited, Beaufort North and Beaufort South benefited. Madam Speaker, the only people who were there from the North was Michelle Electrical, because of the nature of the electrical work that had to be done. The capacity did not exist in the South, and so we had Michelle Electrical to do it. Madam Speaker, a testament of the fact that we are non-political in our national and energy. Madam Speaker, the Elite Athlete Program has been spoken of quite a lot. We have 125 outstanding athletes in this program, and we provide support in nutrition, education, coaching, mentorship, and transportation to these athletes to help develop their full, them to the full potential, with a hope that next character game, and in the future, Madam Speaker, we'll have people on the regional and world stage making St. Lucia proud. The Sport for All program. Over 10,000.
I understand that you have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Sport for All program, Madam Speaker, we have over 10,000 participants from most major communities. We embarked upon 8 months of aerobics in a program involving all age groups at 5 centers across the island. Madam Speaker, the program is ongoing, and we are now targeting youth in football, basketball, and volleyball, and we are now inviting other communities to take ownership of this program. Let there be a Sports for All program in every community as part of developing healthy lifestyles, combating our plague that we now encounter with diabetes, hypertension, and cardiovascular diseases, the sedentary lifestyle diseases. Madam Speaker, if we get moving as a nation, we'll be far better off in terms of our health, build our productivity, and our family and social life. Madam Speaker, it's a question of adding quality to your life. As they say, with sports, you add life. You add life to your days and days to your life. Mm-hmm. So, Madam Speaker, we have to get moving to ensure that that is realized. That's right. Sports development, Madam Speaker. We are looking at building appropriate sports infrastructure through the establishment and upgrade of playing fields and multipurpose courts, the maintenance of the facilities that already exist, and we want to nurture our sports and culture through Sports for All programs, school sports program, elite athletes program, and healthy lifestyle program around the island, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there is a lot to be said further, but I want to take cognizance of the late hour and not burden this honorable house any further. I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your patience despite the late hour. I hope I didn't put anyone to sleep. I want to close, Madam Speaker, by thanking you for enduring this marathon spell, especially today. Madam Speaker, I want to once again thank the people of Groseilly. I want to pledge and recommit my full dedication in providing them quality representation, innovation, and creativity, Madam Speaker, to the realization of our full potential in terms of development and advancement and quality of life. Madam Speaker, when I entered the politics, I made a solemn statement. Madam Speaker, at the time I said, I did not enter the politics of Groseilly to make a statement. I came in to make a difference. Madam Speaker, I am committed to making a difference in the life of the people of St. Lucia, and in particular, my constituency of Groseilly. Thank you very much. Good morning to us.